This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Absolutely. Mike's right here. How you doing, Mike?
Well, I'm dry. The roof doesn't leak, so I'm thankful for that.
There you go. Can't ask for anything more than that.
No, because this equipment would get wet, too.
That's right.
Well, if you're out there huddled around your radio, warming your hands over the speaker, thank you for listening. And if you have a question about your landscape, your lawn, trees, shrubs, bark mulch, whatever, you can call and ask that question at 673-4464, 673-4464. And this show is basically about ideas about landscape, about different types of shrubs and trees, and in the mood of it goes from season to season. When it's hot and dry, I usually talk about hot and dry stuff, but I'm going to talk about hot and dry stuff today, even though it's raining and
nice.
Cold. And I like to keep things fresh and, keep you stirred up out there in case you are listening. But if you do have a question, any kind of question regarding landscaping or shrubs or trees, not politics, 673-4464. So anyway, I'm going to talk about Christmas trees. I'm going to talk about the drought that we experienced and the types of plants that will do well in droughts in case we have a repeat next summer. So you'll know what to plant and what not to plant. But as we get close to our major holiday season here that's zooming in like a jet. Mm. Thanksgiving and Christmas are just like, boom, right there, ready
to go. A couple of weeks away.
I know, it's amazing. But we start to see, and I saw this last week, fake Christmas trees. In one of the, let's see, I was in a box store.
Does it start with W?
No, it doesn't.
Oh.
I can't remember which one, but I walked in, and all of a sudden I saw this line of, it was Freddy's, for crying out loud.
Yes.
Yeah, I went to get my daughter's new couch that she bought, and I'm sitting out there by the plant area, and they got all these new, brand new fake Christmas trees with their lights a-twinkling and everything else, and I'm thinking, well, gee whiz, it's only 5th of November or something that.
Yeah.
And they're already putting them out, and they got little ornaments and all that kind of stuff, and I'm thinking, wow. They want to, really jump on the season.
Did they
quick,
say made know. In China?
Maybe there are Thanksgiving trees, and I just didn't realize.
There you
it.
Go. Yeah. Got it confused. So.
But anyway, we're starting to see them, and then the next will be the poinsettias that are appearing at stores. The red leafed plant, Christmas plant that everybody loves, and they keep it. They keep it alive till about the first of the year, and then they set it somewhere, and pretty soon it's just kind of brown sticks and stuff like that.
That's true.
Because most folks don't know how to keep a poinsettia alive year-round. It's not hard.
Oh.
It's not hard to do, and I can tell you how to do that, but it's going to cost you. But fake trees are going to be more popular this year. And they've been gaining popularity each year, but I think this year, because of the drought that we've had and the fires that we've had up north, and many Oregon tree farms, and I think I spoke about this a few weeks ago, sustained large losses on trees due to fire and smoke and heat. All that was like a triple whammy, and there's going to be less real trees to choose from, and of course those that are out there will be at a higher price, of course. And I know my main grower that I usually buy my cut trees from, he lost more than half of his saleable trees this year because of drought.
Oh geez.
Yeah, and he's up in Oakland area. And he just doesn't have they don't normally irrigate Christmas tree farms because you don't have to. You know, our climate is such that you can plant them and they grow.
They grow, yeah.
But
it
was
terrible.
The accumulative effect, I think, of, last year and the year before that and the year before that, that we've had diminishing amounts of precipitation each year. And then this pasture with all we've had extreme heat most of the summer. Mm-hmm. Whatever soil moisture might have been in the ground pretty much disintegrates and disappears because whatever's left there, the trees are drying from. Mm-hmm. And then when that's gone, it's gone. And they can take drought for, say a month, maybe 6 weeks. But when you get 2.5 months or 3 months of it, they just give it up.
I would too.
Yeah. Now I've got some Christmas trees growing out at in my home place, mm-hmm. that I don't irrigate or anything like that. They're the Nordman firs that I was talking about a week or so ago. And they are drought tolerant, and they look kind of like a noble fir. They look like a pretty noble fir. And I think the first year I planted them, I did water them once in that summer, and that's probably 4 years ago. Mm. And I have never watered them since. But they're in the shade by about 6 to 6:15 in the longest days of summer. Mm. So, that helps them stay cool.
Yeah.
But they're not Christmas tree size yet. They're not a fast grower, so consequently, I get 4 to 6 inches of growth each year. That's what makes them a pretty tree.
Yeah.
And so I probably got 3, maybe 4 years of growing before they're really commercially viable and I can actually sell them.
We'll have another president elected by
then. Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, Joe Christmas Tree. Oh, dear. But if this Christmas tree industry, and see, our Oregon Christmas tree industry is known throughout the world, and they ship to foreign countries, they ship to Mexico, because 1 year I was in Cabo San Lucas, and I saw an Oregon Christmas tree for sale with a tag on it, and it looked pretty poor at the time, because it was a little hot down there, a little warm, and it was on a wooden stand, and it was about, 4 feet tall, maybe. And it was pathetic looking.
Oh, no.
But they probably, it looked like it was the last one left, too. So
I wonder why nobody
wants the last one for some reason.
No. It's like the last slice of pizza.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. But the media and others are, of course, blaming our dry conditions on global warming, better known as climate change. And I wonder what the media would have called the Dust Bowl back in the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
Would that have been climate change when the Dust Bowl wiped out all those farmer families back in Oklahoma, Texas, and Arkansas and all that place? And they all moved to California, to Bakersfield and Fresno, and started orchards. if you ever
read. Makes you wonder, don't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, that was a major. Major change for all that southern, mm-hmm. mid-southern region in there where that Dust Bowl hit, but who knows.
How did they get out of it? I don't remember.
They got in their Model A's and their Model T's and loaded up and got out of Dodge.
And their horses.
Yeah, and their horses, yeah. All right. It ruined them. It just flat ruined them. Mm. So, at any rate, there's been some damage to plants around Douglas County, but if you had been watering on a weekly schedule, rather than every day, most of your plants, 90% of your plants will have survived and grown. And I can say this with certainty because I practice what I write about and I've seen the results. In other words, I've spoken about my Japanese maples and things like that I've planted around my place over the years and mm-hmm. watered them the first year and let them go from that. If they're not hardy enough to grow without me taking care of them because I got them scattered all over the place, then I don't want them. It's real simple.
Sounds like my dad's philosophy.
Yeah, right. Grow, you little thing. But if plants are, like I say in many times, are installed properly with good organic soil and watered the first year, no more than, say, once a week, they're going to survive. All those hot and dry conditions the following summer, they will survive. Mm. Now, if it's a rhodi or an azalea, that's questionable, or a hydrangea or something like that. But I'm talking about trees mainly, specifically, because trees are, for the most part, the trees that we have around here are hardier than a say, a shrub. Mm-hmm. Not all shrubs, but and that's a kind of a blanket statement, but it seems to be that way. And but also, you can be selective on the plants for your yard. You know, if you buy the tough, dry, drought-resistant plants that can do well in the heat, and there are some.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And I'm going to talk about those as well.
Cool.
So, like, what types of plants should you consider? Well, many conifers, that means like firs and pines and spruces and things like that, are going to survive in dry, hot weather. I mean, they might take a little bit of a beating, and we see, of course, on our hillsides many dry, dead Douglas fir trees, but they're usually in shallow soil locations on steep slopes, and where the soil isn't very deep, so it's basically the root goes down, you know, 6 to 8 inches, maybe a foot, and then it's rock, and it's hard pan, and it's, you know, on a south slope, and it gets beat on all day with the sun. And in a normal year, when they had sufficient water, hey, they made it. But the last two, last 2 to 3 years have really taken their toll, because they can, excuse me, they can usually get through that first year of drought and survive, but they're a little bit weaker. They're not as robust,
right.
And then the second year of drought is even drier, and it takes all they got to just survive, and the third year is the killer. I mean, that's when they just can't do it.
Third time around's a charm.
Yeah, they can't sustain. Yeah. Okay. They can't sustain any life like that. But in normal dry conditions, hot conditions, like I say, most conifers are going to survive. You know, there are a lot of pines to choose from, like the ponderosas, Scotch pine, those types of things will grow in spite of the heat, because they grow in like Southern California, Nevada, even in Eastern Oregon.
Wow.
And then the juniper, the upright juniper trees, they will do well. They get, you know, 5 inches of rain a year or something, or 6 inches of rain, or a big rain would be 10 inches a year over there in Eastern Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they survive. You don't see too many dead ones over there, and they get a lot of sun, a lot of heat. And but they do in the wintertime, sometimes they get some snow, and that's good for the root systems. But and then you've got junipers, regular spreading type junipers. They can grow in hot, dry climates, and there's so many of those to choose from. There's probably, no, I'd say more than 50 varieties of ground cover junipers that you could choose from, different colors, different shapes. Some that grow fast, some that grow, you know, moderately, some that just barely grow, like Japanese garden juniper is a very, very slow grower, might grow an inch or two a year, and that's it. Whereas you get a tam juniper, which was the big hot juniper years ago, because it was the kind of the new one, the brand new one that was cheap. They grow really fast, and they'll take over your yard in a hot minute, I'll tell you what.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Do we have a break?
We could take one now.
Okay, let's take a break. I will be back.
All righty, with more Tree Talk.
Tree Talk.
News Radio 1240 KQAM.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
We're back.
Are we back? How come I don't hear anything? What did you do? You cut me off?
Oh, it's on.
Okay, if you say so. If you can't hear me, it's Dale's fault, okay? But I was talking about beginning to speak about the different types of plants that will survive drought conditions, and this is what you might consider going into next year and replacing some of the things that might have died in your yard because of the drought, and maybe you didn't have a sprinkler system, and maybe you didn't have the water or whatever, and kind of start doing a remodel, if you will, and choosing some of the others. And I was speaking about junipers, and of course, ground cover junipers. They're not fancy, and they're not full of blooms and all that, but they're a good sturdy plant. And there's gold ones, there's green ones, there's gray ones, there's light green ones with yellow tips. I mean, there are, like I say, there's at least 50 varieties that you could look at and see, and you just get on the magic screen called the internet thingy.
Have you learned that yet?
No, I haven't, and I'm not gonna. No. And but otherwise, you can, Oregon grape is a good one. It survives out there in the wilderness without anybody watering it. It's a nice plant, yellow flowers, evergreen, looks good, has red berries. Vine maple for a halfway in between shrub tree, it's really good. And if you've seen California poppies, those are the little yellow to orange flowers that seem to grow out of the middle
everywhere,
and nobody takes care of them. No. Nobody plants them. They just miraculously appear every year.
Yeah.
Now, if you could capture a few of those and put them in your side yard let them go, bingo.
They're like dandelions.
Exactly. It's just dandelions grow under any condition.
Oh, Lord.
But the California poppies are I'm sure you can buy seed. You probably go to the co-op or something and look for California poppy seed and throw it around.
Yeah, it's got to be there.
It's got to be there, yeah. there are even some azaleas and rhododendrons that will make it. But you have to be very careful in your selection and really do your research before you try something like that. But there's the ornamental grasses. Those ornamental grasses are tougher than tough, and there's probably 40, 50 varieties of those types of things that you can choose from. Butterfly bush is another that once you plant it, you don't mess with it. It grows, it blooms all summer, and it's tough. It's good. So those are just a few that came to my mind as I was writing my notes and thinking about what do I see around it. Nobody's taking care of it, but it's kind of growing wild and in somebody's side yard or
crabgrass.
Well, crabgrass grows anywhere. It grows out of sidewalks, for crying out loud.
And then it cuts you.
Yeah, it does. It does. And then tree-wise, like I said, most of the conifers will survive with little to no water. And so will the maple trees. You see our Oregon big leaf maple. It was the tree on all the hillsides that were, you know, big leaves, bright yellow. And they're tougher than nails. And you put one of those in your yard for a shade tree, if nothing else grows, and you can be reassured that that's going to do well for you. But do some research and find out what plants need little care and start with those. And then as the weather or the climate changes more to our normal 35, 40 inches of rain a year, then you can begin to expand your landscape again into, you know, what we normally do. But if you don't have any idea, look around your neighborhood. I always tell people, look around the neighborhood. Take a walk, take a drive, whatever, and see what's growing in other people's yards. See if something attracts you and say, wow, that is a pretty plant. I wonder what it is. And if you've ever met the person who lives there, wait till they're out working in the yard, stop and say, hey, what is that plant and how does it grow? And
yeah.
I've noticed it for the last 3 or 4 years and it doesn't seem like it needs any help or care or anything like that. And I've found 99 times out of 100, you approach somebody like that in their yard, and they love to talk about their plants. And they'll take you on a tour of their whole yard before you know it.
Yeah.
And you just spend an hour there talking about plants. But it's a good way to learn, and it's a good way to those kinds of folks. You can say, well, how do you plant that? Or how often do you water it? Or, you know, do you fertilize it? Or do you prune it? You know, all those basic questions. And they'll be glad to give you the answers. And, you know, it's a way of beating the drought stuff. It's a way of of saving on water for for drinking instead of watering your lawn, you know. See,
and being productive.
Yes, and being productive. So, you know, I've written in the past articles about all my Japanese maples that survive with no water up there in the woods surrounding my house. And what I've done over the years is I make sure that I plant in the fall when it's like this, rainy, cool, etc. And it does have time from November to April to get rooted in. So that's 4 or 5 months that it can establish the root system. And then even in May, it's okay. But June starts to get a little dry, and July is July, August, and September are the three killer months for sure. Yeah. So what I would do the first year that they were in the ground, probably in the middle of July, I'd water them at least once. And I have to carry a 5 gallon bucket of water from my creek to, you know, a couple hundred yards to where the tree was. And that's why I didn't want to water them much and give them a good soak. And then they usually make it through that hot spell, and they continue to grow. So the next year, the following year, they're pretty well rooted in, and they're going to make it. They're not going to succumb to dryness. I mean, they have their own self-defense system already.
Built in and ready to
roll. Ready to roll. So, but I've got about 20 different types of Japanese maples that I've done that with. Just, you know, number one, they're pretty. Number two, they kind of give a different look to the forest. And number three, they're tough, and I want to test them. I want to see so that when I tell somebody that buys one at my nursery or I plant one in somebody's landscape, when they ask the questions, I can give them the straight scoop and say, this is what happens if you give them too much water, and this is what happens if you don't water them. and they'll survive better with less water than more water. So you're switching the dials here.
I'm just checking the temperature
okay.
here.
Oh, you're checking it. Was it 50?
It hasn't got there. 54.
54. See, a good guess, and I'm inside.
You're good.
Yeah. So at any rate, I know that this stuff works because I've seen it happen. This is a doable type of thing. And a very hardy shrub that I've planted in my place that doesn't need any care, it seems, and it likes the sun, is a Russian sage. And it's not a common plant. You don't see too many of them around. They're getting more and more common, but 10, 15 years ago, you couldn't find one in any nursery anywhere.
Probably the name.
Yeah, it could be, but it is the foliage is kind of a bluish green, bluish light green in color, and it has feathery type leaves. If you want, so it's a long stem with these little feathery like leaves hanging to the stem, and all summer it blooms a blue flower.
Oh, is that right?
It has little tiny blue flowers all along the stem, and it'll bloom all summer. And I can't remember watering it at all. Maybe my wife did, and I don't know, but she usually doesn't.
Yeah, because it's too that to you.
Yeah, I'm the outside water guy. But it blooms all summer, and they're just tougher than nails. And the really cool thing about it, deer don't seem to like it. Deer don't mess with it. They don't bite it. They don't chew it. They don't sample it. So
now that's saying
something. Yeah, that's saying something, and that's a truly deer-proof plant, I'll tell you that. And if it's not pruned, and grow up to, say, 5 feet tall and, say, 3-4 feet around.
Well, it's a good size.
It's a good size and takes up some space. And in the winter, it just stays without blooms. It just stays there. And you might lose a few branches due to severe cold or something. Mm. But, you know, you can prune it down and fill it up, and it'll fill out, and it comes back gangbusters. So this is a no-hassle shrub, and it works well in any garden. It's easy to do. Let's see, the last little plant I had on here.
An Obama tree?
No, we don't. Oh. We don't. I'm sorry. But the last one I got on here is called like a gold leaf yucca. You know, it looks like one of those desert plants, and basically it grows naturally in the desert. Mm. But there are yuccas that grow here in Douglas County. And this gold leaf yucca is a very attractive plant and grows to about, say, 3 feet tall, maybe a little bit larger. Likes the sun, and you water when you want to, but no more than twice a month in any summer. Mm. And the leaves, they're like a dagger, you know, they go straight up. The leaves are green on the edges with a gold strip up the middle. Mm. And it's That's very bright yellow, yeah. yellow gold, huh. and dark green on the outer edges of the leaves. So it's very bright year-round. Even in the winter, it looks the same. It doesn't die down or anything. And it does have a bloom on it. Very, very large masses of creamy white flowers, usually in July and August. And deer don't touch this one either. They go, no way, we're not going to do that.
Perfect for Douglas County.
Yeah, it's a perfect Douglas County plant. You know, and as this weather thing, as the climate does change, gets a little drier, it gets a little wetter. Remember 64 flood?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and I got here in March of 65, and I saw the remnants of it and all the destruction that caused it. But weather is cyclical. It, you know, we think we got a handle on it, and we think, we can predict this, and we can predict that, and all that. And I listen to this station every day, and the chance of rain, and maybe no rain, and the temperature might be this. Well, you're right, maybe 40% of the time.
Oh, is that?
Maybe. Okay. I keep track.
Do you?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. You know, agricultural people keep track of this stuff.
Well, true.
Yeah. And because we got projects we have to do, and if it rains, it's going to really mess things up.
And then they build houses where the floodplain is.
Yeah, I don't know why. But they've got rules against that. You know, it's a good rule to have. Don't build your house in a floodplain, please.
Hey, you want to take a break?
Yeah, we'll take a break. I've got a lot of other stuff to say.
All right. We'll be right back in a couple of minutes with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show right here. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, we're back. It's 4:38. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. What's our number, Mike?
673-4464. Any kind of a question regarding plants, shrubs, trees, gardens, tomatoes, whatever.
Don't matter.
No political questions, please.
Why not?
Well, no. I'll give you an answer you might not like.
I think Kyle would come in here.
Yeah, he'd probably fire me. Take my pay away.
You right? and me both.
Anyway, I'm talking about plants that can survive very harsh, hot conditions for a long period of time. And I know it's raining right now, and it's kind of ironic that I'm discussing that today, but... you know, you have to prepare for these kinds of things. You have to assess your yard and garden and what do you want it to look like and what made it this last year without any care or very little care and what died. And as a result, you need to look at new items that you can plant and will do well without you having to babysit them on a weekly basis or something like that.
That gets boring.
It does. And it gets to be a pain in the neck, too.
Mm-hmm.
But here's one that's going to turn everybody on.
Okay.
Believe it or not, and it's not marijuana, believe it or not, roses love the heat and the sun. That's why they call this place Roseburg. And roses can be treated just like any other shrub. In fact, you don't have to treat them at all. They grow in spite of you, not because of you. They don't need a lot of care as long as they're planted properly with a good soil mix in the planting hole. And once started, they just grow and bloom spring, summer, and some of them into the fall, and some of them clear into Christmas. And I've had them do that in my own yard. And I've told that story a few times about my old house in Roseburg where I hated the rose hedge, so I cut it down with a chainsaw in August thinking I was going to kill it. And 2 months later, it was up to about 2 feet, blooming beautifully, and it bloomed all the way till Christmas.
Better than ever.
Better than ever. And And I thought I'd killed it right. Yeah, you know, I didn't know anything.
I thought I'd killed that vine, too, but it's back.
Again?
Yeah. Stinking. That my kindly neighbors keep watering that hole where they pulled all that stuff out, and now there's three or four vines popping up.
Well, you ought to. Can you dig it up by the roots?
I could probably certainly try.
If you get a pot and dig up, you know, a good root ball, stick it in a pot and bring it here, and I'll take it. I'll take it and plant it somewhere and try to figure out what it is.
Okay.
How's that?
I'll do that.
Okay. That can be my Christmas present.
There you go. Ground's soft and wet now. Yeah, it should be easy.
It should be, yeah. But anyway, I'm talking about roses, not his weeds. but like I say, once you properly start a rose, you can't hardly kill them. I mean, they are really, really tough. And so when you're shopping for roses, you'll be amazed at the number and the types of roses that are available. And you can find up, and this is on the internet and,
Facebook.
Mail order. Yeah.
Mail order.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are, I saw listed up to 7,000 varieties.
Oh, my.
You know, mail order catalog. 7,000 varieties of roses. It blows my mind. I mean, you know, I know maybe 25 varieties, maybe, if I'm on a good day. But 7,000 of them, for goodness sakes.
That's a couple.
But here in Douglas County, you can easily find 200 to 300 varieties just shopping around from nursery to nursery, or the box stores all have them in the spring. You know, Freddy's. I was going to say Payless, but they're not Payless anymore.
Rite Aid.
Walgreens. I miss Payless, for crying out loud.
I know. It was easy to remember.
Yeah, easy. We're going Payless. Okay. But any of the nurseries are going to have, you know, if we don't stock up on a whole lot of roses, we might have 100 to maybe 150 to choose from. That's about it. And then but you can go to a Bi-Mart or something and see another 30, 40 varieties. And you can go to, what's that other place? Costco, of course, has them. And then Bi-Marts and Wally's World. Mm-hmm. They got them all over the place. And each place doesn't order the same type of rose. So you can find many, many varieties. And so just shopping around in Douglas County, you could probably find 200 to 300 different varieties of roses for sale.
Good heavens. That's...
Yeah. I mean, so you can have a great great color scheme, a great rose garden, whatever. And once you plant them, like I say, properly plant them in good soil, they're going to grow. That's all there is to it, with very little care.
Mm-hmm.
And but if you keep them pruned and once they get established, after a couple of years, they start getting larger and leggy. You want to cut them down, say knee high or even a little bit lower each year. Thin out the, if it has 15 little twigs, branches coming up, thin it to about seven of the best ones, and take the seven, skinny, kind of, crummy looking ones out. Give them some air. Yeah, give them some air. Give them some room to grow, and you'll have an amazing rose crop.
Lawnmower does wonders too.
Yeah, lawnmowers do really good. I thought chainsaws did good too, but it didn't work. But like I say, you shop at the box stores, and I do once in a while. I even go to a box store and say, I don't have that, but I'll grab that, and then I'll take it and plant it somewhere, and then take cuttings off the next year and grow that. But the roses are popular. They're easy to sell. I mean, everybody loves a rose, especially in Roseburg. And they do well in most climate zones. My father-in-law, he lived in the high desert in Northern California, just south of Susanville and north of Reno on Highway 395.
Yeah.
Desert. High desert, 4,000, 4,200 foot elevation, snow in the winter, cold winds. Sagebrush was the county flower. and if there was a pool of water in a dry creek bed, there was some willows. But that, that was the natural vegetation around there. But he had beautiful rose garden in his yard because they had a lot of sun over there once the cold, windy times get over. Right. Then they have a lot of sun for 6-7 months, easy, 8 months maybe. But then he would prune them prune them properly when mm-hmm. when the fall came along, and then hey, they could have 3 feet of snow for crying out loud laying in their yard mm-hmm. on those roses in that country,
right.
and they don't melt off till say a month goes by before the snow melts and the nights are cold, they're zero or below zero, and they survive. You know, they're not damaged. They do well. So that's what I mean when I say tough. Yeah, that's tough.
Definitely hardy. So
hardy.
To speak.
And their soil is basically sand. So,
isn't that something?
Yeah. So they sell a lot of potting soil down there for,
yeah,
for plants.
Yeah.
But every year when we went to visit them, his rose garden was beautiful, and he had you know probably a dozen or more different types of roses growing and. And it's always good. So they grow in the Cascades. They grow in Roseburg. They grow in the desert. They grow in Reno, Nevada.
Probably China.
Yeah, I'm sure they there's China rose. And the only place they don't do as well, they will grow on the coast, but the coast is usually too wet, too long, too damp.
Damp.
And it doesn't really.
They don't
really
like
warm
that.
Up till, you know, July, August, like that.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But you go over to Charleston, you go to the state park over there, and they have a rose garden in there that's very, very pretty. But but it takes a lot of work because of the climate.
Yeah.
And it's right next to the ocean, so they get fog even in the summer. So they're growing, let's say, under the worst conditions that a rose could grow
in. But they're still surviving.
But they have caretakers there that know what to do, and so consequently they're looking good.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that's a plant that you can move into your landscape. You can have all kinds of areas to plant them in. But here in Douglas County, they grow like weeds with little care.
Yes.
And they come in all shapes, sizes, colors. You know, climbing roses can decorate a fence or climb a tree or climb the side of your house. And I've had that occur in my old house in Roseburg. Hybrid tea roses, they're a bit easier to care for and more beautiful shrub mixed in with your landscape with lots of color, big flowers usually. They can also be made into a nice hedge. Let's say you wanted a hedge, but you don't want just an evergreen hedge. Well, you say, well, for the backyard or for the front yard, I want a rose hedge. Well, put a row of roses in there. Now, usually when people do that, I've seen that they get all the same color roses. If I was going to do a rose hedge, I would put all kinds of different colors in there just to blow people's minds.
Yeah.
Hey, well, look at that rose hedge. It's got 14 different colors of roses in
there. Are those light bulbs?
Yeah, light bulbs. That must be a fake rose hedge. But, you know, they really look good. But and then there's grafted tree roses that are on a tree, on a stem. Mm-hmm. And they're grafted, and the rose bush itself is grafted about 4 feet off the, you know, up the stem.
Yeah.
And they're very pretty, but you have to make sure that you keep it pruned and tight because it could get so heavy and so leggy that it could break off. So they're a little bit more work, but they're very very nice, very stately.
Sounds like they'd be kind of woody.
Well, they are.
Are they?
The stem that it's grafted on is, say, an inch in diameter or more.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rose bush itself is grafted into the top of it. And it's about, say, 4 feet tall. And then the rose is grafted in up there at the 4 foot level.
Okay.
And they work. We sell a few of them every once in a while, but... They're harder to take care of, and you need to be very well aware of how those things grow and what they do and be on top of it all the time.
What they're gonna, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But my favorite roses are...
Can we do that after the break?
Okay.
We'll have a cliffhanger. The favorite rose of Mike Winters coming up. News Radio 1240 KQES.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hello there. We still have time for a phone call or two.
Yeah, it's 673-4464 if you're wanting to do that.
We do have a phone call.
I do. See, how quick was that?
Yeah, perfect timing. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi.
Good afternoon, Mr. Winters.
Hi.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Thank you.
One of the things I was thinking about when you were talking about that Russian sage, Mike.
Yeah.
Have you ever snipped off the little leaves and crushed them and tasted them?
No, I have not. Have you?
No, I haven't. That's why I was cheating to ask you.
Ah.
No, I have. I probably have 40 plants in my landscape yard that I cook with.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, it's just a cook's garden is what you call it. And I wondered about the Russian sage. Just as a suggestion, a talking point, you could talk to Marianne and see what she's got going on. But you could do some teaching us about
how to cook with Russian sage, huh?
how to cook with a whole variety. There's a whole bunch of stuff you can cook with.
Oh, I know.
I knew you did. I knew you were teasing the village idiot. I knew that.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. I wish you and your family the very best.
Okay. We'll see you later, John. Thank you, Dale.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
What is your favorite rose?
Well, there are a bunch of roses. They're mini roses. They're the little short, squat ones that are kind of round. And I love them because they're tougher than anything you ever saw. And they bloom. They stay small, say, you know, if you don't prune them, maybe 3 or 4 feet maximum. But we keep ours pruned to about 2.5 feet because we take cuttings off them. We grow more from the cuttings, et cetera. But the cool thing about them is they're tough. I mean, nothing seems to hurt them. And we've got them planted in a planter along the highway in front of our business. And, you know, we got semis and everybody else going by, dust.
A lot of garbage.
Garbage and everything else. Doesn't bother them a bit,
and they
start blooming in early, say April, even sooner sometimes, and they bloom clear to Christmas. And it's not, and they're small blooms, but there's hundreds of blooms on one rose, hundreds
on one rose
on one bush.
Yeah,
and just you cannot even see the foliage because of the flowers. And, you know, a lot of folks say, well, I want the, you know, the yellow rose of Texas or whatever with the long stems and all that. And that's good and that's great. But if you want color and you want a shrub and you want something that's easy to take care of, a mini rose
is the way to go.
And some people call them carpet roses. And there are some types of roses that actually are ground cover that stay pretty close to the ground. But I don't grow any of those. It's, I don't know why.
Do they have thorns too?
Oh, little ones, but not like the big old honking roses.
The big mamas
that want to bite your finger off for crying out loud. But they are very pretty. They are very, very, very hardy. And even if a deer ate them down to the ground, it wouldn't bother them a bit. I mean, they would just
grow back better.
Yeah, they would grow back better and fuller. But hundreds of blooms on a 3-foot rose bush. I mean, try to imagine that. And my favorite color is orange. There's a bright orange one. We have pink, orange, red, and a few other colors that we've propagated and planted them around. Just so people, when they come into the nursery, that's why I plant different plants around. Some folks come in and they don't have any idea about, you know, how does something grow or how big does it get? And I have examples that we have in the ground that are part of our landscape through the nursery and say, well, that's what a large one looks like. That's what one that looks like, you know, that's been in for 10 years. And then, boom, the light bulb goes on and they go, oh, yeah, I think I'll take 3 of these and 2 of those and tell them how to prune them, tell them how to water them and fertilize them. And I said, you know, got to be patient. It's going to take a couple years to get like that.
Get it rolling.
Get it going real well. But they do. And they're not, you could use them in cut flowers, I guess. I mean, you could cut some stems and put them in a vase, but that's not what they were designed.
Not their main purpose.
No, that's not their main purpose. Yeah, but but for color and hardiness, I mean, you can't beat them.
Nice.
You know, now you can buy roses several different ways. You can buy roses that are fully rooted out in pots, or you can buy them as bare root roses. Bare root roses are less expensive than potted roses. Potted roses will have a more mature root system, and when you plant them, they will probably not miss a beat. Whereas a bare root rose, you know, the inclination for people is when something is bare root and they plant it, and if they do it right, you know, put the right soil, et cetera, and everything else, they still have a tendency to overwater.
Yeah.
You know, just water it once and forget it until it's growing.
Right.
And that's where most folks that aren't real long-term gardeners, like on bare root fruit trees or shade trees or shrubs that are bare root, they overwater. and I always, when I'm waiting on customers, I always say, don't water it too much. Or it's going to die.
I'm chuckling because I remember Dad, you know.
Yeah.
There's water all over the, running down.
Well, maybe in August that's okay, but in February it's not, you know.
It's a no-no.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
But potted roses, like I say, are easier to plant and grow for the first-time rose buyer. And if you are an experienced grower, gardener, you can buy bare root roses and have success with them. But I'll talk about more of that next week.
Sounds good.
Thank you for listening.
Where are you located at there, Mike?
Highway 99 south of Winston. Big green roofs and all the smiling faces and people welcome you all the time.
There you go. We'll see you next time.
Yes, sir. Thank you.